today as we come to the table.
When it says they could not, what it means is they could not initially, but God would give them the ability if they persisted in battle. And we're going to see that same theme all through Scripture. Sometimes you'll see they could not, then you'll see they would not. And it says that, you know, these kind of things. There's different battles that we have in the Spirit where sometimes God says, I'll give you that territory that you're fighting in your life for. Maybe it's some sin you're trying to conquer or whatever the case might be. But you've got to continue to fight because you know what? Right now, you don't have the strength. You trust me. You run to me. I'll give you the power and you keep battling because I want you to learn warfare and then I'll eventually give you the victory.
Was there ever a time when you were trying to do something but initially thought you couldn't? Maybe there was a time someone did the hard thing for you and now you're facing the same thing again and don't know how to handle it. Even if you fail the first time, it's better to keep trying and learning. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark explains how God will help you win the battles in your life. Sometimes he'll let you battle it out before he gives you the victory so you'll learn how to fight the spiritual battles that come your way. At first, you may not win, but you have to keep battling it out and God will give you the victory. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 1, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they killed 10,000 men at Bezek. So a great victory in just following God. And again, whenever God tells us to do something and we follow God, we're going to have a great victory. That's how it goes. And they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek. That is the leader, the Lord of Bezek. And they fought against him and defeated the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And then Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued him. Now note this, they caught him and cut off his thumbs and his big toes. Now, why did they do this? We're going to see in a minute. He says, I cut everybody else's thumbs and big toes off. That's what he would do. Whenever Adonai Bezek conquered an area, he'd take all the men, cut off their thumb and their big toe. Why? Because that's what you needed for battle. You couldn't hold the sword good if you didn't have the thumb. You couldn't balance if you didn't have your toes. So he would basically make their men, he wouldn't kill them always all the time, but he would just make them unable to fight. And so now he gets caught, and look what happens. They do the same thing to him. By the way, the Bible says what you sow is what you'll reap. So if you're cutting off people's toes and thumbs, whatever that means to you, it's going to come back around. You know, the Bible says God shows mercy to the merciful. God is kind to those that are kind. God is gracious to those that are gracious. You know, sometimes, you know, as a pastor, you know, you see people and they'll be in this huge mess or whatever. And for me anyway, I have grace for that. And the reason I have grace for that is not because I'm some spiritual giant and I'm so in tune with God and I'm so mature that now I'll show grace. No, it's because I've been in the same mess they've been in. I've done the same dumb stuff. And when you've done that stuff and you've watched it ruin your life, when somebody comes up and goes, this is happening in my life, and you're like, yeah, I believe it and I know it's horrible. Let's pray. Because I've been there. I suffered through that just like you're suffering right now. And I've seen God's faithfulness on the other side. So there's a grace that's there in the midst of that. We need to be people of grace and mercy and love. You know, not cutting off thumbs and toes, but basically, you know, trying to restore people for battle. But Adonai Bezek was a thumb cutter and a toe cutter. And notice he said, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off used to gather scraps under my table. Again, you know, I'm the one that kept them alive. I gave them food. I made them my servants because I made them ineffective and defeated them. And he says, as I have done, so has God repaid me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. Now, whether they let him live out his life or whether he just died, you know, on living old age, I don't know. But he died there in Jerusalem. And the children of Judah fought against Jerusalem. Again, remember, they didn't have it at this time. It was the Jebusites there. And they took it, and they struck with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. And afterward, the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites, who dwelt in the mountains in the south and in the lowland. And Judah went against the Canaanites, who dwelt in Hebron. Now, this is the whole region of Judah they're fighting for. That's why it's mentioning all these places. And the name of Hebron was formerly Kirjath Arba. And they killed Sheshai, Hyman, and Talmai. And from there, again, the leaders of that region. From there, they went against the inhabitants of Debir. The name of Debir was formerly Kirjath Sefer. And Caleb said, remember Caleb, Joshua and Caleb were the two guys that went in and came back with a good report after they spied the land out. And Caleb was the one that, you know, again, as an older man, 85 years old, defeated that region and took Hebron. It was his. God promised it to him. And now we see Caleb coming back in the story. He said, whoever attacks Kirjath Sefer and takes it, to him I'll give my daughter Aksah as wife. Now again, I know that Aksah doesn't sound that pretty, but really it translates into ankle bracelet. That's a beautiful thing. An ankle bracelet's a beautiful decoration. You know, and so she was no doubt very beautiful, and Caleb named her something of beauty. A bracelet of beauty would be really the name you'd translate her name into. So I've got this bracelet of beauty right here. And if anybody defeats this area that I want, that God has promised me, you go and fight for me, I'll give you my daughter. Well, obviously she was a bracelet of beauty because one of the guys, I'll fight for her, let's go. And he goes and attacks and takes this region. And so it says, it happened when she came to it. I'm sorry, I skipped some there. Caleb said, I'll give whoever attacks it his wife. Verse 13, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, and he gave him his daughter Aksah as wife. Now again, remember, the families were very spread out as far as multiple wives and multiple families. And this was, again, a situation where God was allowing these kind of things in different, as long as the separation was far enough at that time. This day, we don't do that kind of thing because of genetic things and all that. But he says, I'll fight for her. And it happened when she came to him that she urged him to ask her father for a field. So they get married, and he's won her in battle, and he goes, now, go to dad and ask him for this. We want something else. It's like, that's kind of tough. You want me to go to your dad and ask him? You know, I can imagine the conversation. Why don't you ask your dad? You know, whatever. I think he would take it better because you're, you know, this kind of thing. Or why don't you ask my dad? Because, you know, whatever the case might be. Anyway, you guys know what I'm talking about. Ask your dad. Because he did, you know, but again, I don't know what the conversation went like, but again, she wants him to do it. And notice she dismounted from her donkey and Caleb said to her, what do you wish? And she said to him, give me a blessing. Since you've given me the land in the south and given also give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave the upper springs and the lower springs. Now, we saw this back in, before we got to Judges, we saw this back in Joshua. And we talked about the picture there of just this, that freshness that we need that God gives us. You're not being afraid to ask for the blessings that God gives because he likes to give blessings. But again, also, there's a beautiful picture here, I believe, in that whole picture of just the freshness of the Spirit. And that desire of the Father to give that fresh water to us. And we're going to see in the book of Judges, God pouring out his Spirit and anointing the judges with his Spirit. And God wants to do that with us. So remember, not just asking God for blessings in the fleshly realm, which there's nothing wrong in doing. God loves to bless his kids. But in the spiritual realm, even more importantly, to go to the Lord and say, I need the fresh springs. You know, the upper and lower springs of the Spirit. I need you, God, to fill me from head to toe. And so, again, a literal thing happening here, but I think a beautiful picture of what the Father does for us, giving us the upper and lower springs of the Spirit to be able to serve him with the land that he's put us in. The children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up from the city of palms, that is Jericho, with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lies in the south near Arad. And they went down and dwelt among the people. And Judah went with his brother Simeon. And they attacked the Canaanites who inhabited Zephath and utterly destroyed it. So the name of the city was called Hormah. So now they're, again, Simeon's helping Judah out. Judah helped Simeon out, or brother Simeon helped Judah out. Now Judah's going to help them. So he's, you know, helping out his brother. They're taking turns here. Also, Judah took Gaza with its territory, Ashkelon with its territory, Ekron with its territory. These are all Philistine territories. So the Lord was with Judah, and they drove out the mountaineers. But they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland because they had chariots of iron. Now, this, just for a moment here, guys, when it says they could not, what it means is they could not initially, but God would give them the ability if they persisted in battle. And we're going to see that same theme all through Scripture. Sometimes you'll see they could not, then you'll see they would not. And it says that, you know, these kind of things. There's different battles that we have in the Spirit where sometimes God says, I'll give you that territory that you're fighting in your life for. Maybe it's some sin you're trying to conquer or whatever the case might be, but you've got to continue to fight because you know what? Right now, you don't have the strength. You trust me. You run to me. I'll give you the power and you keep battling because I want you to learn warfare and then I'll eventually give you the victory. And so a lot of times you'll see where they could not because God was allowing them to learn warfare until they were able to. Other times we're going to see that they could not and that led to would not. When they got resistance, they finally gave up. Never give up. If you've got some battle you're fighting right now, some area you're trying to get victory in, don't give up. Continue to fight. But I've been fighting so long, Mark. You don't know. Don't give up. Don't go from a could not to a would not person. Just say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I've tried everything in my own strength. I can't seem to get victory. You're going to have to do it. You continue to pray. You continue to battle. And God will give you the victory. We're going to see a little bit later, God actually sends his children into war. I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll talk about that in a moment because he wants them to learn to fight. So this is kind of that beginning of learning to fight the enemy. And notice the enemy had chariots of iron that would be like tanks in our day. That is those strongholds in your life. If you want to give it a spiritual analogy, because there is a spiritual application where the enemy has something in your life that is just like iron. So you just can't break it. It's too strong. And these are the things where we have to learn to turn it over to the power of God. You know, a lot of times we bang on the iron trying to defeat it ourselves. I'm never going to do that again. This time I'm really not going to do it. I'm determined I'll never do it. And we just keep banging against iron and keep failing. Well, stop banging against the iron and go to God. Say, God, this is a chariot of iron in my life. And you're going to have to take care of it. It's something I can't do. And so if we do that, God will give us victory. But we have to continue to fight. He's teaching them how to do battle here. And they gave Hebron to Caleb, as Moses had said. Then he expelled from there the three sons of Anak, so getting rid of those that were in the land and taking it over because God was judging them and giving it to the children of Israel. But the children of Benjamin, notice this, notice the wording here, the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who inhabited Jerusalem. Not that they could not, they just didn't. Another big mistake of the believer here. Because if God gives you the power to drive it out and you know you've got the power to drive it out, but you just continue to live in that sin, you say, you know, I have the power to lead this aside, but I kind of like it. So I'm gonna keep being involved in this. That's a huge mistake as well because God will lift that ability. He'll give you the ability, but if you keep doing that, you'll eventually become captive to that. And so the enemy will take you captive in that area even when God has given you victory in it. And that's a warning to us even as believers. We may have victory in an area and then we dabble back in it, right? Let me use one for example. Let's say drinking, right? God set me free from even the desire for alcohol because that was a bad part of my past. Well, okay, I'm free in Christ. Maybe I'll just have me a little glass of wine. I'm free in Christ. Stupid mistake, Mark. Why? Because even if you're free to do it, this is something where if you won't drive it out, it can pull you right back in and destroy you. So we have to use wisdom and have to use discernment. They did not drive out the Jebusites. That means they could have, but they didn't. They were going to use them maybe as slave labor, maybe as whatever else, whatever. Maybe they thought they just compromise. You know, we'll compromise with this. We'll get along with these guys. Listen, compromise in politics is not a bad thing sometimes. Sometimes you got to compromise. There may be something, okay, we'll do this and we'll do this, and you compromise in politics. I get that. Never, no, never, no, never can you compromise with the Word of God. You can't do it. There is no compromise. God's Word is set in stone. It is eternal. It is infallible, I guess would be the right way to say that. You can't compromise with it. And where Christians mess up, oftentimes where we mess up is we start trying to compromise. Well, you know what? This little sin won't hurt me, or I can dabble in that a little bit. It's going to destroy us. And that's not a could not drive it out. That's a did not drive it out, which again can lead to a would not drive it out because you now really like it. I'm going to keep it forever. So notice the difference here. The way that God describes this, he's painting a picture for us literally in what they did, but there's a real truth to us literally and spiritually in this. They did not drive out the Jebusites who inhabited Jerusalem. So the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. So when it was written, they were still living there with them. Let me give it a modern day application. They didn't get rid of everything God told them to get rid of, so it's still a part of their life. And whenever you allow something to be a part of your life that God has said, get rid of it, it's going to bring you down. You're never going to be walk in the fullness God wants you to walk in. It's always going to be a hindrance. It's always going to keep you kind of dampened down. Lord, why am I not filled with the Spirit, Lord? How come I don't experience your power? Why am I not walking in the power that I see other people walk in? Let me ask you this. Are you living with Jebusites that God said get rid of? If you're living with them, they're not causing much trouble. I'm still living in Jerusalem. But there's this Jebusite right behind. Yeah, I know. It's, you know, Jeb's not so bad. Leave him alone, you know. He's even got a good southern name, you know. That's Jeb. Hey, Jeb, why don't you meet somebody? Here's the Lord. I don't want anything to do with Jeb. You deal with Jeb. We talked about him. I know, Lord, but, I mean, I love movies, and I know there's sex scenes in us sometimes. There's a few Jebs here and there, but we're doing okay. I'm still going to heaven, and I'm not really chasing other women. I told you to deal with the Jebusites, Mark. Deal with them. In the long run, it's going to bring you down. So it's either yes, sir, or living with the Jebusites. Guys, I don't want to live with the Jebusites. I want to walk in the holiness of God. I want to walk in the Spirit of God. I want to walk in the fullness of God. And sometimes it takes some tough decisions, but it's a great movie. Is it worth your walk with God being where it could be? I'm not giving a forbiddance on movies. I'm not doing that. This is not one of those, you watch a movie, everybody's going to hell. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, be careful. I think sometimes we decide to live with the Jebusites a little bit more than we should, and we wonder, why don't we have power? Well, because we're grieving the Spirit of God. I guarantee you, the Lord can't sit there and enjoy that sex scene with you. He can't do it. So just use wisdom. How closely do you want to walk? And what level of holiness do you want to walk with God? Not judgment of others, not thinking you're something holier than that. No, none of that junk. Just be real. See, Jesus, do you enjoy this? Not really. I knew that. Let's just not watch it. All right. But everybody else is watching it. Yeah, I know. But they're not walking close with me. Do you want to walk close with me? I'd love to. Turn it off. Wow. And that's really what it boils down to. It's too easy to compromise with the Jebusites. Be careful. Be careful. And so notice what happened here. So they dwell with them to this day. And the house of Joseph also went up against Bethel. And the Lord was with them. And the house of Joseph sent men to spy out Bethel. The name of the city was formerly Luz. So these guys were losers. I'm sorry. I've used that one too much. Let's move on. And when the spies saw a man coming out of the city, they said to him, please show us the entrance to the city and we'll show you show you mercy. Now, what do you mean show the entrance to the city? Wouldn't you think you'd see the entrance to the city? Not always. In some of these cities, they would hide the entrance because the enemy, it would be a way that you'd get in and out to get water. And so they would disguise it. You'd have like some bushes growing over and they'd raise up and you'd come out and go back in. So your enemy didn't know how to get in the city. So at different places, it could even be a distance from the city where you had like a tunnel coming in or whatever. So they're like, hey, look, we don't know where this is. We don't want to take the time to find it. You show us where it is, we'll show you mercy. So he showed them the entrance to the city, and they struck the city with the edge of the sword, but they let the man and his family go. So he made a deal with him because he showed them how to get in. And the man went to the land of the Hittites, built a city, and called its name Luz, which it is to this day. So his city named Luz got destroyed, and he went and started another city named Luz. I guess he just liked the name Luz. That's where he wanted to live, and that's where he lived. However, now it goes to Manasseh, again, talking about the incomplete a conquest of these different guys in these different areas. However, Manasseh did not, there it is again, did not, not that he could not, note that, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and its villages, or Taanach and its villages, or the inhabitants of Dor and its villages, or the inhabitants of Ibleam and its villages, or the inhabitants of Megiddo and its villages. I mean, they didn't drive anybody out, did they? They just let everybody stay, right? For the Canaanites were, for the Canaanites were determined to dwell in the land. Now, there's some sin in your life. Again, I don't want to dwell on this too long because we talked about the iron, but there's some sin that's determined to live in the land. You're going to try to say, God set me free, and it's going to be, I'm not going. This is the kind of sin you have to drive out. There can be no negotiation. You got to go to God and fight. And you go to God and fight till God drives it out, and God has to do it because they're determined to stay there. It's like this, I'm not leaving, I'm not leaving, I'm not leaving. And so if they had done that, they'd had victory. But again, they didn't. They were determined to stay. And rather than fight to do what God told them to do, they said, you know what, I'm giving in. It's not worth it. A little bit of compromise won't hurt. Go ahead, you can stay. It's going to hurt them later, though. It came to pass when Israel was strong. Now they could have done it. Look, they're strong enough. They could have done it, that they put the Canaanites under tribute but didn't completely drive them out. So we'll use them. We'll let them serve us. We'll take advantage of this, but we're not going to obey God to the complete, the fullness of it. Again, obeying God is what God wants us to do to the complete. And this is going to come back to haunt them because these are going to be thorns in their side, as the Lord said. Nor did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, the inhabitants of Nahalal. So the Canaanites dwelt among them and were put under tribute. Nor did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko and the inhabitants of Sidon, or of Ahlab, or Akzib, or Helbar, or Afik, or Rehob. So look, all these guys, they're not doing what God told them to do. This disobedience to God, again, is going to be great problems for them in the future, even as it is for us when we do that. So the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Nor did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh, or the inhabitants of Beth-Anath. And they dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh and Beth-Anath were put under tribute to them. Again, I'll let it stay. I'll compromise, but I won't totally drive it out. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains, for they would not allow them to come down into the valley. Again, here's that persistence of the enemy not wanting to leave. Yet God has given the victory. And the Amorites were determined to dwell on Mount Heres in Ajalon and in Shalbim. Yet when the strength of the house of Joseph became greater, so now, again, God's grown them, they're stronger, they were put under tribute. Now, what it should say is when they grew stronger, they drove them out. You know, but again, I think we get used to how we're living. We have a certain lifestyle, things that we allow that we permit in our life. We get stronger in the Lord, and rather than getting rid of it, we just kind of continue on in it. It hurts us. Now, the boundary of the Amorites was from the ascent of Akrabim, from Selah and upward. And so chapter 1, chapter 2, now we switch gears here. The same thing, God's watching them do all this. They're not being obedient to the Lord. And now God's going to come and speak to them directly and confront them, saying, why aren't you doing this? And again, this is where God does with us. We know we're not being obedient to the Lord. Maybe tonight already the angel of the Lord has spoken to our heart. As we cover chapter 1, maybe they're going, you know what? I've got some, you know, Jebusites. I've got some, I'm not dealing with things I need to deal with. Now God's going to do that with the children of Israel. Notice what he says, because see, we have the Holy Spirit that does that now. They didn't have that. God had to send prophets, or he himself had to come, because the Spirit wasn't given yet. But look at chapter 2. Then the angel of the Lord. Now again, you may see angel capitalized in your Bible. The reason being is when you look at, oftentimes, you'll either see an angel or the angel. And many times when you see the angel of the Lord, it's speaking about the Lord himself. Now, don't be stumbled by angel. Again, I think the translation should be changed, because really, literally, it doesn't mean angel. It means messenger. So it's translated angel of the Lord throughout the scripture. And they you know, they refer to him as the angel of the Lord. But the real word is the messenger of the Lord. And so when you see that with a capital A, it's the Lord coming to speak to them himself. And the reason they'll give the attribute that it's the Lord is you'll see some God attributes in the messenger. So they know that it's God. We'll see that later with Samson. And in many other places, here's one of them. But what's cool about this is when God came to speak to man back then, when it says the angel of the Lord, it was actually Jesus. Whenever God appears to man in human form, he appears in the form of Jesus. Now, angels come, but when it's God, it's Jesus. The Father is spirit. So the Father hasn't put flesh on, so to speak. Jesus has now literally put flesh on, but when the Father wanted to speak himself to mankind, he would have Jesus come in the form of man and speak to man. So that started long before Jesus came to the earth to live for us and die for us as a man. But now we see the Lord here coming, Jesus himself coming to speak to the children of Israel. He's going to confront them. The angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim. And he said, I led you up from, by the way, Gilgal is where they established their covenant with God. When they first came in the land, they stacked the stones up at Gilgal. And they had the stones of testimony and witness. So it's interesting that the angel of the Lord started there. He said, I'm going to show up right where you made a promise to me. This is where you made your promise, right here. And I'm going to come from this place of promise, and I'm going to come show you where you are and confront you. And see, the Lord may be doing that to some of us tonight. Coming to those stones of promise we made years ago, he's now confronting us going, you remember what it was like? Now look where you are now. It's time to come back. And so like a good father, he'll bring rebuke, but then he also brings mercy when we cry out to him, as we're going to see. And so notice he starts out, I led you up from Egypt, that is out of the world, and brought you to the land that I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. And we just read how they kept making covenants with all the people of the land. They let them stay, and everybody kept staying.
You've just heard Pastor Mark teaching from the book of Judges here on Come to the Table. One of the most remarkable stories from Judges is the story of Gideon. With just 300 men, Gideon and the Israelites defeated an army of 135,000 Midianites. But it wasn't because Gideon was a military genius or because the Israelites had some new advanced weapon. It's because Gideon trusted and obeyed God. God fought for the Israelites and completely defeated the Midianites. To God, it doesn't matter if you have 10 men or 1,000 men on your side. And it doesn't matter who or how many are against you. If God is for you, then no one can stand against you. Don't trust in your own power and wisdom. Trust in God, because the battle belongs to the Lord. If today's message had an impact on you, would you let us know by using our questions or comments link found on our website, thewaymedia.net? This is a good way for us to gauge how we can better serve you, our listeners. While you're there, stay a while. Familiarize yourself with our ministry and what we're about. Come to the Table is a ministry out of Calvary, Knoxville. If you find yourself traveling through, staying in, or residing in Knoxville, Tennessee, we hope you'll come check us out at Calvary, Knoxville. Consider that an invitation from us to you. We'd love to have you. Service times can be found at thewaymedia.net. Just scroll down and find the link to Calvary Knoxville. Well, that's all the time we have for you today, but we want to say thank you for listening. Pastor Mark has more in Judges, so join us again on the next edition of Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.